the feeling is pro wrestling. That's the feeling I'm hooked on. What's going on, everybody? It's Brain Stew Wrestling. I should be joined on Skype by one Michael Falcone, but for some reason he's not. So I am going to fly solo tonight, guys. I just decided that. So hello. If you're listening and watching on the podcast, the number to call is 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. You can Skype at Brain Stew Radio. And you can follow me on Twitter at Hams Gruber. And you can follow the show at BSR Wrestling. And follow at Brain Stew Radio as well. So, what's the biggest story in pro wrestling tonight? It's the same story that's been the biggest story since, I don't know, the past several weeks now. And that's Brock Lesnar. We need to talk Brock Lesnar. So for those of you who do not know, Brock Lesnar, a contracted, and there's a big word, contracted WWE wrestler, fought in one of the main events at UFC 200 over this past weekend. An event that UFC 200, an event that UFC had problems from the start. Big problems. Wednesday night, before the event, their main event fighter, John Jones, he gets busted for doping by USADA, the anti-doping agency. He was informed that his fight has been canceled with Daniel Cormier, and that sent the MMA world in a spiral, an unbelievable spiral for UFC. So what did UFC do? They made Brock Lesnar versus Mark Hunt the main event of UFC 200. And then what did UFC do after that? They realized that Lesnar-Hunt, it's definitely going to be the biggest draw of the card, but it's not. It shouldn't be the true main event. So what Dana White did was make Miesha Tate versus Amanda Nunes for the Bantamweight Championship the true main event of UFC 200, and that's what happened. Nunes dominated Miesha Tate. Dominated. The other fights were so-and-so. Frankie Edgar, Jose Aldo was the fight of the night by far. It was kind of like it was kind of like a classic point where the heavyweights are the headline of the show, but the cruiserweights and the light heavyweights, they steal the show. You know what it was? It was like Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat at WrestleMania 3. WrestleMania 3, god-awful pay-per-view. But it's the biggest crowd and probably the most successful of one of the of WrestleManias. Yet the match of that pay-per-view was Savage and Steamboat. So what did UFC do? They realized that Conor McGregor is not going to be at UFC 200. Dana White fires him from the pay-per-view. He says, you're not fighting for stupid reasons. Let's be honest here. We live in a world where special people get special treatment. It's a simple fact. Special people will always get special treatment. Entitlements, handouts, you name it. It's everywhere in our society. And Conor McGregor is one of these people for UFC. So what happened? Brock Lesnar comes back to the UFC because he, in his mind, thought, I could still do this. He, in his mind, thought that he can still do this. He wanted to do it, but and he has said publicly, that WWE just offered him way too much money for him not to to come back to WWE. Vince McMahon threw out a Hail Mary money-wise to Lesnar. And according to him, it was 10 times that of what he originally made in UFC. So, and he already made a lot of money in UFC. So I can just only imagine how much money Brock Lesnar made. His purse for UFC 200 was 2.5 mil. And I think with, I guarantee a big bonus was he got a percentage of the pay-per-view buys. Had to have. Brock Lesnar made a good $20 million from UFC 200. So it is very good to be Brock Lesnar at this point. But let's, why am I talking about Brock Lesnar in the UFC when this is a pro wrestling show? Well, the simple fact is, me as a pro wrestler, me as a pro wrestling fan, wants to look at a lot of MMA people and just go, nah, 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 wrestler saved your pay-per-view, nah, 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 nah. That's what I want to get to today. And I believe Mike Falcone is now joining me on Skype. Hopefully, punch you there. Punchy, this is your time to talk if you're there. Okay, Punchy's not there. He's having issues with his Skype. So, Brock Lesnar comes into UFC 200, three-round heavyweight bout with number 8 in the world ranked Mark Hunt, who's a dangerous fighter in the first place. So, for those of you thinking that Lesnar, oh, he came in and, oh, he was going to have a squash match, and he was going to easily dominate. No. Mark Hunt is a dangerous fighter. And Lesnar was going to have to work to beat Mark Hunt. Because Lesnar does not like to get hit. I know who does like to get hit, honestly. No one likes to get hit, especially Brock Lesnar in the UFC. He doesn't like getting punched because he, quite frankly, has a little bit of a glass jaw issue. So, how is he going to defeat one of the hardest strikers in UFC history? And one of the most dangerous knockout artists in UFC history in Mark Hunt? It's simple. He relies on his NCAA wrestling knowledge. He relies on his wrestling knowledge. He went for takedowns. And boy, oh boy, did Mark Hunt get laid out by Brock Lesnar. There, Hunt may have had the upper hand as far as striking knowledge, octagon geography knowledge, and MMA knowledge in general, because he is a fighter, trains as a fighter, and always knows what he's doing in the octagon. Lesnar, I would say he is absolutely a once in a generation athlete. But did we expect Brock Lesnar to come back and be as dominant as he was? No way. No way. I expected Lesnar to come in, have a pretty strong showing, but ultimately, he would get knocked out by Mark Hunt. That's what I thought was going to happen. That's what I predicted was going to happen. But what happened? Lesnar came in and dominated. Completely dominated. And I love it. So I am laughing right now at all of the MMA fans out there that said Mark Hunt was going to obliterate Brock Lesnar. Because you guys lost a big one here, MMA guys. The pro wrestler and the guy who's not even a full-time fighter not only came into UFC and made the pay-per-view relevant to the public, But he came in and he came in and defeated a top 10 heavyweight in the UFC. What else is there to say other than Brock Lesnar can do whatever Brock Lesnar wants? And he said it himself in a post-fight press conference. He said Brock Lesnar, speaking in third person like The Rock here, Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants to do. And quite frankly, Lesnar has earned that opportunity and earned that shot at being his own brand. Because let's be honest, guys, who else in the sport of mixed martial arts is going to A, draw as much as Lesnar is going to, B, actually show up and have a decent showing in the octagon, and three, who's going to be able to make the company that much money? You got to go with Brock Lesnar here. I mean, other than Conor McGregor, who's going to draw the UFC that much attention aside from Ronda Rousey coming back? You have Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey, and Brock Lesnar. Those are your three biggest draws in the UFC. So here's a little bit of Brock Lesnar's post-fight press conference, and he looked banged up here because Hunt got a few shots on him. But here is what Lesnar had to say.
Well, let's get one thing clear. Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants to do. And I believe that my future is already laid out for the next month. I'm doing SummerSlam against Randy Orton. And once the dust settles there, I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
I'll answer that question for you, Mr. Lesnar. Whatever the fuck you want to do. Lesnar can do whatever he wants to do because he doesn't care. He doesn't care about what anyone thinks of him. He doesn't care about what anyone wants him to do. He just cares about going out there, being a physically dominating man, and getting paid. That's all he wants to do. Whether he's in a wrestling ring, whether he's in a cage, whether he's on the football field. I mean, what other athlete do you know was a grade A wrestler, was a dominating draw in professional wrestling, leaves pro wrestling to try out for the NFL because reasons, almost make a team? He was one of the last cuts of the Minnesota Vikings. He's one of the last people who got cut by the Vikings during training camp, which means he's certainly the best in minor league football, Canadian football even. He was this close to being an NFL star, which means he's already one of the best 10% football players in the world. You go from being one of the best wrestlers in the world to being one of the biggest draws in pro wrestling, to almost making the NFL, to winning the UFC heavyweight championship against one of the greatest who ever did it in Randy Couture. Granted, Couture's career was on its way out, but he still got a win against Randy Couture. I rest my case, guys. Brock Lesnar, it can do whatever the fuck he wants, and you're going to watch him whether you like it or not, because boy, oh boy, were MMA fans hating on Brock Lesnar. And hating on him because it's not that they didn't doubt his athleticism or doubt his athletic accomplishments. They saw him as a fake pro wrestler, fake fighter, and they didn't want him there. It's like how wrestling fans would say, yeah, it's like when WCW brought in NBA stars. And we were sitting there watching Monday Nitro, and we were saying, yeah, okay, cool. You know, you're bringing national attention to our organization. We don't want you here. We know you're an athlete. We know Dennis Rodman, like multi-time NBA champion. We know you're an athlete. We know you can ball. But why are you in a wrestling ring? You don't belong with us. That's the mindset that MMA fans had with Brock Lesnar. To which I think anyone with common sense would say, if he wants to do it, go for it. If he wants to pursue an MMA dream, go for it. If he wants to go risk getting his ass kicked, go for it. So you hear that? Yeah, CM Punk, that means you. I'm all for Team CM Punk here. Even though I think he's going to get destroyed. But I'm all for CM Punk trying to pursue an MMA dream. But the main story tonight is Brock Lesnar. Because how much of a draw must this guy be? I can't wait to see the total buy numbers of UFC 200. Because I want to know just how much Brock Lesnar meant to this pay-per-view. Little Matt in the chat room saying, I love that Brock is the only one of those three. I'm assuming meeting Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor. That doesn't talk absolute shit. You're absolutely right. Lesnar doesn't need to talk shit. Because what Lesnar can do is go in there and dominate. Now, the fight itself, I don't know if you guys saw the fight itself. I did because it's part of my day job. But I'm watching this fight, and I can tell you as a sort of rookie-ish UFC fan, or like sort of rookie-ish MMA knowledge, I don't know how to analyze a fight. I don't know how to analyze submission holds. I don't know how to analyze a striking grade. I don't know how to analyze all that. But I know firsthand that me and several other people in the room that we were watching, a lot of them are big MMA guys. The fight we were looking forward to the most, and the one that we could not wait to watch, was Brock Lesnar versus Mark Hunt. That's the fight that everyone was looking forward to. Now, whether you were looking forward to see if Lesnar can do it, whether you wanted to see Hunt destroy him, or if you just wanted to see a good fight, you watched Brock Lesnar. I can't wait to see how much Brock Lesnar made the UFC for this pay-per-view. Because when you look down the rest of the card, there was maybe one or two real fights that everyone was looking forward to on UFC 200, the main card. Amanda Nunes versus Miesha Tate and Edgar Aldo. Those three were the fights that I was looking forward to. But as far as national audience goes, UFC is right there with WWE. They have a huge following. Their organizations are worth billions. Okay, because UFC did just sell for $4 billion. But to ESPN and the national audience, they're just a thing that people like to watch. So I can't wait to see how much Brock Lesnar made the UFC. It's not going to be Conor McGregor around or Ronda Rousey money, but it's definitely going to be up there. So my final thoughts on Lesnar, quite frankly, the guy can do whatever the fuck he wants because he has nothing left to prove. He's at an age. He's at an age that he can do anything he wants because he's got more than enough money for the rest of his life. But he's at an age where you should not be able to do what he does well. Now, the fight itself between him and Hunt, it wasn't spectacular. And to be honest, Lesnar didn't dominate all of the fight. He dominated rounds 1 and 3. But round 2, he didn't do shit. He did jack shit in that round. And I, when I say jack shit, I literally mean jack shit. That was all Hunt by default. It's like saying that episode 3 in the Star Wars prequel trilogy is the best one because by default the other two were such shit that the shitty third movie is known as the good one. That's what round 2 of Lesnar Hunt was. It was the Revenge of the Sith of MMA. Hunt easily won that round. But Lesnar came in and was like, fuck your striking. And he went like a bullet to Hunt, knocked him down, locked him up, and ground and pounded. Did he knock him out? No. Did he absolutely dominate throughout the whole fight? No. There were some moments where I thought, oh, Hunt might actually get an upper hand here. But he won. Unanimous decision. Unanimous. And seeing MMA purists out there exploding in rage, just like how I did when Taker's streak ended, boy, oh boy, now I know why wrestling fans got made fun of when people made fun of the rage that we all felt when Taker's streak ended. Oh boy. I was having a laugh when I saw UFC fans losing their mind because Lesnar won. But the biggest question of all of this, and real quick, in response to Lamette, the entire Fight Pass card was off its tits. Yes, it was. I saw all the cards. I saw all the fights this weekend. That's why I said earlier that Lesnar Hunt and like two other fights were the only ones that were somewhat exciting on the main UFC 200 card. The Fight Pass cards was amazing. Great weekend of fights, by the way. The biggest question you have to ask coming out at UFC 200 is how much of a percentage would you say needs to be thanked by Vince McMahon? Let me rephrase that. How much does a UFC, quote unquote, owe Vince McMahon? Because I sent out a tweet last night with a photo. I was watching Monday Night Raw, and I saw Vince McMahon come out, and I'm like, and I tweeted, Dana White's daddy is walking to the ring. Thank you, Vince McMahon, for making UFC 200 not shitty. And I meant every word by that. Vince McMahon and the WWE, not only the fact that they promoted SummerSlam on UFC 200, not only the fact that WWE streamed UFC 200 weigh-ins because of Lesnar, WWE had to get permission from UFC to stream and post footage content in exchange for Brock Lesnar's services. WWE loaned UFC a Ferrari in Brock Lesnar. And Dana White had to have kissed Vince McMahon's foot, I'm guessing, because Vince McMahon just, he is the sole reason why UFC 200 was brought into the mainstream. Because UFC 200, I guarantee, would not have received as much attention from the mass media as it would have if it wasn't for Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar. The wrestling company, wrestling promotions, and the contracted pro wrestler saved UFC 200 from mediocrity. That is a fact. end of discussion. And Dana White has Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar to thank for the success that UFC 200 was. So that's my thought on the Brock Lesnar situation. Mike got back to me. He is having Skype headphone issues, and Windows decided to update its entire whatever. So that's why he's not here. Hopefully, after the break, we'll be back talking more all things pro wrestling. Raw recap is up next. You could tweet me at Hams Gruber. You could tweet the show at BSW Wrestling. And you could tweet Mike at Hipster Punchy and tell him to buy a better computer because his computer sucks. We will be back right after this. This is Brain Stew Wrestling talking Brock Lesnar, UFC 200, and the Raw recap coming up next. We will be right back. Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brain Stew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brain Stew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brain Stew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today. Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. The best radio on the internet is only one click away at MoreLikeRadio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out MoreLikeRadio.com and subscribe on iTunes. Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR. Back live, Brain Stew Wrestling. Number to call 908-854-4228 or Skype at Brain Stew Radio. If you're listening to the podcast or watching the podcast, hello. Catch the show live. We are live every Wednesday night from 10 to 11 p.m. on BrainStewRadio.com and MoreLikeRadio.com. Gotta love AC/DC. I hate the fact that Axl Rose is still fronting AC/DC. I hear the show's amazing, but I can't get behind an Axl Rose fronting AC/DC. When Jim Brewer, who is one of the best stand-up comics I've ever seen, when Jim Brewer does Brian Johnson's voice better than Brian Johnson, I know he does it out of for a comedic impression, but for God's sake, he does a perfect Brian Johnson impression. AC/DC should have called him. That would have been, he could have died, if he dropped dead for some reason, that would have been the highlight of his life besides being a father. Jim Brewer should be fronting AC/DC. Anyhow, let's get on with the Raw recap. So Monday Night Raw this past week had a lot of good things and one really not so good thing. On one hand, we saw Seth Rollins do his best Stephen Colbert impression and tried to Bill O'Reilly up a confession out of Roman Reigns for reasons. So that obviously edited promo to try to make Roman Reigns look bad. I mean, That's a better editing job than MSNBC, that's for sure. So when the footage was played, Ambrose came out, and, well, let's see. Let's go over what happens next after that.
Stick out of your butt and have some fun for once in your life.
That's funny, huh? That's a joke to you. You coming out here and stepping on my turf, that's a joke to you. You know what's a joke to me? Is your championship reign.
Do I like to have fun? Do I like to come out here and have a good time? You're damn right.
Because I am. I think this promo is building. I think they're doing a great job with Roman Reigns out of the picture. Because, as you know, he is serving a 30-day suspension. And jokingly, he this is a joke that he's coming back at the end of his suspension and being in the world title picture. But there are rumors. We'll get into this in a second. A little note from the Rumorville here involving Vince McMahon's feelings towards Roman Reigns. I'll get into that in a second. But this promo right here really solidified, to me, the future of WWE.
Get this.
Ambrose came out and said that he risked everything he could and bust his ass to try to get it.
You want a one-on-one match for the championship? I'd say anytime, any place.
So that staged a WWE World title match for next week's Raw. And I love what Rollins did here. Because obviously playing to the red-hot Detroit crowd.
It's as good a place as any.
Oh, listen to the cheers these guys are getting.
No, not tonight. I'll see you next week. Ah.
My time. We do it on my time.
What a heel. What a fucking heel Seth Rollins is. Next week on Monday Night Raw, you get Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE Championship. And I cannot wait for that. I still think Ambrose retains. I think Ambrose retains and goes into Battleground as champion. Because part of me still believes that Roman Reigns is going to come in at the Battleground and win the title back. Which brings me to this rumor. So apparently, the rumor is Vince McMahon has just about had enough of Roman Reigns. Apparently, Vince McMahon is no longer sold on Reigns. He doesn't want Reigns to be the face of the company anymore. And instead, he's going to have AJ Styles and Seth Rollins be the faces of the WWE because of how white-hot their feuds are, how great they are in the ring, how much they're getting responses from the fans. Again, this is just a rumor, but if this ends up being true, you're gonna have at least one happy camper here. And I know, to the right of the video podcast here, where Mike should be, he would agree with me that this is the feud that WWE needs to put forward for everybody. The other thing that happened on Monday Night Raw. Is, well, we got that video of the New Day battling the Wyatts in the Wyatts campground. So that was interesting. I didn't think they were going to literally brawl in on the Wyatts property. I thought that was just a figure of speech. But they really, I almost hate to say it, but WWE did a hack job of TNA. I mean, as we all know, what took the wrestling world by storm is the final deletion between Matt and Jeff Hardy at TNA. Matt Hardy ended up winning the match, but it was just like this. Except, dare I say, better? Dare I say something TNA and WWE both did? TNA did better? I mean, granted, the production value of whatever this is, the production value is outstanding. But this is kind of hilarious at this point. This is like, this is pathetically hilarious. I have no idea what WWE was trying to do with this. Aside from the blatant hack job of TNA, because regardless of what you may think of the final deletion, Matt and Jeff Hardy got the wrestling world talking. They got TNA fans, WWE fans, Reign of Honor fans. They got wrestling fans everywhere talking about TNA. Whether you thought it was pure genius, pure garbage, or one, like American Pie, where it's so bad it's good. You watched the final deletion. I saw it, and I compared it to The Room. I compared it to The Room. It's so bad, it's amazing. But what WWE did here was do exactly what TNA did with Matt and Jeff Hardy, and they tried to make it serious when they didn't need to. Just have a match at Battleground. Why are you doing this? Little Matt in the chat room, Xavier, brother Nero Woods. Oh, accurate. And Matt also says 39-year-old AJ Styles is a new face of the company. Hey, why not? Vince cares about what sells, who's loyal, and who's selling the most money and drawing the most. And AJ Styles and Seth Rollins, why not? They fit that qualification. I mean, not to mention, Vince McMahon spent a boatload of cash to get AJ Styles there. So why not use him? Oh, God. They actually had people come out with sheep masks and actually hold up lanterns. This is a douche-chilling hack job. This is a horrendous, horrendous attempt to get a feud going. You had the feud going already. You had the feud going with Bray Wyatt coming out, interrupting the New Day, obliterating their power positivity promos, and being the negative Nancy creep that he is. And you do this. Why? It's not necessary. And not to mention, you ripped off TNA. I mean, TNA is the company that signs your former talent, does your former storylines, does imitations of your talent, and tries to ride your coattails. And here's WWE hacking up TNA. Was this Kevin Dunn's idea, Little Man at Charmo? Probably. I mean, to say how bad the New Day and Wyatt family Woods brawl that was, I haven't been that douche-chilled since I watched Vince Russo-era WCW. That, to me, is up there with RoboCop saving Sting. Yeah, I said it. I just said that. That was the hack job of all hack jobs. And that, to me, just killed the rivalry. That just killed it for me. The only thing that can happen to really captivate my interest again is if they have a six-man tag and it steals a show. They have to top the Shield versus Wyatt family. They have to top that. They have to top Shield versus Evolution. They have to steal the show and be the match that everyone talks about in order to get me interested in this rivalry again. Because what they just did... unbelievable. Little Matt, what we've learned tonight from Brain Stew Wrestling. WWE is greater than the UFC. TNA is greater than the WWE. I did. Okay. When you point it that way, I did just say the UFC needs to thank Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon has to thank TNA for that. I feel disgusted that I just said that. It's sad that Vince McMahon and company ripped off Dixie Carter of all people and TNA of all promotions. The sinking ship that is TNA, WWE came in and just stole it, presenting it as an original thing. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So let's move on to something that actually made me happy from this past Raw. And that was Kevin Owens versus Cesaro.
Thank you.
So Owens banned Sami's. Owens got Sami Zayn to be banned by ringside. Zayn was going to come be on commentary, but in true heel fashion, Owens made referees go, on your way, Zayn. And Cesaro and Kevin Owens had an amazing match. An amazing match. And it showed that Cesaro has to be on your list of top five best performers in WWE right now. And I think Owens debuted a new finishing move, because look at this. I think that's a debut of a new finishing maneuver for Kevin Owens. I think he's going to add that into his arsenal with the pump-up powerbomb. And little man in the chair, kiss Dixie's foot, Dana White. kiss Dixie Carter's foot, Vince. So what happened after this was Owens wins the match. He goes over to Byron Saxton, and in true Kevin Owens fashion, just is a complete douche to Byron Saxton. I feel kind of bad for him at some point. He rips the headset off.
There's a lot of talk about who the best in the world is. I'm not even trying to be the best in the world, and that's exactly what I am at this commentary table in the ring. You know who's not? What
the hell? And Sami Zayn comes out and just beats the living hell out of Owens. I love it. I can't wait for this match at Battleground. Cannot wait. These guys are going to tear each other apart. And I'm going to sit in awe and watch it. Can't wait. Monday Night Raw open up with a Battle Royal to determine a number one contender for the Miz's Intercontinental title. So, who ends up winning? Well, let's find out.
To eliminate the guy who won the last year's Andre the Giant. Guys,
Darren Young has won. Darren Young returns to action. And he doesn't even eliminate anybody to win the match. Corbin and Apollo Crews, they eliminate each other. And Black Donald Trump here, he wins. So they're pushing Darren Young to be in the Intercontinental title picture. And at Battleground, Darren Young is going to face The Miz for the Intercontinental title. I got to be honest, I haven't really been sold yet on this gimmick. I've seen the vignettes. I've seen the videos. But more and more, I always see myself fast-forwarding through them. It's not really interesting. So I hope that they can at least deliver a match. Because God help him if The Miz has to be the one that carries this feud. Now, I love The Miz. I love what The Miz is doing. But in a world of Kevin Owens's, Sami Zayn's, AJ Styles's, and John Cena, The Miz is garbage compared to all of them. And if he's, and if we're praising The Miz for his work for the IC title, what does that say about the division? So I hope Darren Young can do something to make this rivalry worth watching. So finally, Monday Night Raw closed out with this. Vince McMahon comes to the ring, says to Shane and Stephanie, who is going to be the commissioners of Raw and SmackDown? Who's going to lead the show? Well, here's who he picks for SmackDown.
The new commissioner, SmackDown Live, Shane McMahon.
Smart move, honestly. As you can hear from Detroit, the fans love Shane McMahon. He's a fan favorite.
My duty to inform you that I'm released.
So, Shane McMahon, obviously, smart choice here by the WWE. He's over with the fans. Now, creatively, behind the scenes, if we're lifting the curtain here, Shane has no power backstage. He's strictly there to be an on-screen character and behind the scenes, like, help mentor the wrestlers and get along with them. So he has no position of power, so he's just going with the flow. But on screen, he gets major pops everywhere he goes. So why not put him? It's smart. It's common sense. You're making SmackDown Live. You're going to try to capture the younger audience and move the audience over to SmackDown. What better way to do it than to put Shane McMahon in charge? Smart move. But then, of course, Vince does this.
You of your responsibilities here on Monday Night Raw. Therefore, the new commissioner of the juggernaut, the flagship, the three-hour flagship of WWE, Monday Night Raw's Commissioner Stephanie McMahon.
Detroit does not like that at all. And of course, Stephanie did doing the yes, yes. I love it. I love the fact that she still does this. Vince McMahon making competition between Raw and SmackDown again. And as we saw from the Paul Heyman documentary, Vince, SmackDown is the bitch show for WWE. SmackDown is the bitch show. It is not the flagship. Vince is going to want Raw to be the dominant show. And I got a very funny feeling that what happened in the late 2000s here, in the early to mid 2000s, with Paul Heyman running SmackDown, which outdrew Raw, outsold Raw, outviewed Raw, SmackDown was a better show. I got a very funny feeling that it's going to happen again. Mark my word, I can't wait to see what the ratings are for SmackDown. The first live SmackDown is going to have phenomenal ratings. We know that because everyone in their mother who likes WWE and pro wrestling is going to watch it. And they're going to see what happens with the draft. So we're going to see what that's going to be a huge show. But then again, all these late night shows that are popping up, their ratings are always huge for the first few shows. I'm going to wait a month from now. A month from the first SmackDown. And see what the ratings are. And I hope that SmackDown does great because I applaud WWE for finally pulling the trigger and making SmackDown relevant again. And they're setting it up for success. And I really hope that Shane is given some sort of backstage authority to work with the SmackDown talent and the writers to help make SmackDown a great show. I know I'm going to be watching SmackDown again. So let's finish up with how Raw went off the air.
All my life, I've had to work twice as hard for half the recognition. You've tried to make me feel like nothing. And now I'm going to turn the tables on you, Shane. I'm going to let you know exactly what that feels like when I bury you, I bury SmackDown, and I make you wish that you were never even born a McMahon.
I love the fact that a lot of WWE heels are now saying that you're going to bury me. They're actually openly using that term now, by the way. I love it. I love the fact that people are saying, oh, I'm going to bury you.
Venomous spew comes out, you're hiding something. And I've seen it my whole life. I know you better than anybody. And what I see, it's not anger. It's not intensity. You're scared. You're scared. You've seen this movie. You've seen it play out your whole life.
Shane's loud breathing right here reminds me of Tony Soprano whenever he got angry at Christopher.
The end of it that you're looking up to, just as you always have.
Starting to piss me off, Christopher.
So
that's my hack Tony Soprano impression.
There's only one game in this business, and I'm married to him.
Oh! Oh, what a bitch! Wow! Oh, I love Stephanie! Oh, she's a bad bitch. I love it. This awkward, let's work together thing, it was not working. Oh, man, what a great line from Stephanie. And obviously WWE edited right there, but on live broadcast of Raw, she tripped and almost fell, and boy, did the fans let her have it. There's only one game, and I'm married to him. Oh, you're right. My girlfriend is totally right when she says this. Stephanie McMahon is a bad bitch. My girlfriend loves Stephanie McMahon. Which, by the way, I'm very glad that my girlfriend just started watching wrestling, just started getting into it, and she loves the heels way more than the faces because she's smart. She knows that faces are boring. One final note from this past Raw. That's the loudest John Cena chant I ever heard. That's one of the loudest John Cena chants I think that's ever been yelled in WWE history. I don't know whether I'm saying it's one of the loudest because it's been a very long time since a unanimous Let's Go Cena chant. But man, Cena is, I hate to say it, but he's doing better in his feud with Styles than AJ Styles. His side of the promos are always better. His connection with the crowd is always better. Dare I say, Cena is clearly winning this feud. All right. We have a couple minutes left. I'm done talking pro wrestling, and tonight was very WWE heavy. I apologize for that, guys. I want to touch base on one little thing here with, I don't know if you guys have been playing this game, but the number one game in the world right now is Pokemon Go. I don't know if you guys have played this game yet, but it's both amazing and terrifying. It's amazing because this is what it is you download it on your phone. And it uses the camera on your phone as like your view of the world. It's like it opens up like Snapchat. You start the game and you walk around in the world and you see the world through the camera of your phone. And what it is it randomly puts a Pokemon on your screen and you can use the Pokeball, swipe and try to capture him, go fight other trainers, go to gyms. It uses your GPS around you. It uses your GPS and random landmarks around you in your area are Pokemon gyms, Poke centers, and like you could fight trainers there. You get experience points. It's like if the Game Boy game came to life. And it's also amazing because there are a lot of kids who just sit on their ass all day and play video games, and they're out exercising because they're playing Pokemon Go. Nintendo has done in a week what Michelle Obama has tried to do for 8 years as the first lady, and that's get fat kids out of the house and play. Pokemon Go is both a blessing, and it's also going to be the worst thing ever. Because as a natural pessimist, I have to look at always at the bad side of everything. There's going to be a time, and I've seen already in New York City, someone is going to be running into a very busy street trying to capture Pokemon, and they're going to get hit by a bus. I've seen it happen. I've seen it almost happen several times in New York. Some idiot is going to walk in the street, get hit by a bus, and the family of said dumb kid is going to sue Nintendo, sue the developers, sue whoever it hit their dumb kid, and sue whatever town that they're in. Fatal four-way of lawsuits, people. And the game's going to be ruined. It's only a matter of time. And that just shows just how well we have it in America. Because a fun little thing, Donald Trump's building in New York City, in Columbus Circle, I think, is a Pokemon gym. It was selected by the game to be a gym. So you have to go to the gym and walk to the gym in the game because you use your GPS, and you get to battle the Pokemon there. People are complaining that Donald Trump's building. People are complaining that Donald Trump's building is a gym in Pokemon Go. That should just show you how amazing we have it in this country. I know I'm not going to get political here. There's a lot of bullshit going on with violence and race and all that. There's a lot of shit going on. But we need to step back for a second and be humble at the fact that we have it really good in this country, because people are complaining about a Donald Trump's building being a gym in Pokemon Go. That's amazing. And not to mention, you're getting kids to walk out, and you're getting kids to go outside and exercise. A little Matt at chat room, hashtag Pokemon Lives Matter. That's yeah. I played Pokemon Go once. I downloaded it on my phone just to try it out, because I played the original Pokemon games when they first came out for the Game Boy. And for years, I was made fun of for my fandom of Pokemon. And now everyone and their mother seems to be playing Pokemon Go. So I, as a Pokemon nerd, an OG Pokemon nerd, I demand an apology for all the times I was made fun of. So that's that. If you haven't played Pokemon Go yet, get it. It will drain your phone's battery quicker than anything in the world. It will obliterate your phone's battery. And if you have a Gmail account, it reads your Gmails automatically. So Nintendo knows exactly what you're doing on your phone. But if you just want to, if you want to get as close to being a real life Pokemon trainer as possible, Pokemon Go is fantastic. It's an excellent distraction that will cause a massive lawsuit because someone will be hit by a bus. All right. That's our show tonight, guys. I want to thank everyone for listening. Thank you for listening to the podcast and watching the podcast. I'm really trying to push out the video aspect of the show here. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. The show is BSR Wrestling on Twitter. Follow at BrainStew Radio on Twitter. And Mike Falcone, who was not here tonight, at Hipster Punchy. Look out for future updates on the BrainStew Radio Network, because updates will be coming soon. Trying to get out of the gate here strong. Again, thanks everyone who listened. The podcast will be posted shortly. Have a lovely evening.